Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Grace Corporate Management Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. And I've handed the conference over to Mr. Balaji Subramanian from IIFL Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Neha. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, and thank you for joining us on the post-results conference call for Quess Corp. It's my pleasure to introduce the senior management team of Quess who are here with us today to discuss the results. We have Mr. Guruprasad Srinivasan, ED and Group CEO, Mr. Kamal Pal Hoda, Group CFO, Mr. Kushal Maheshwari, Head Investor Relations and Strategic Finance, Mr. Pinaki Kar, President, Global Technology Solutions, Mr. Anand Sundar Raj, President, OAM, and Mr. Shekhar Garesa, President, Product-Led Businesses. We will begin the call with opening remarks by the management team, and thereafter, we will open the call for a Q&A session. I would like to now hand over the call to Mr. Kushal Maheshwari to take the proceedings forward. Thank you, and over to you, Kushal.
Thank you, Balaji. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our Q1 FY25 earnings call. The information, data, and outlook shared by the management during the call is forward-looking and subject to prevailing business conditions and government policies. All forward-looking statements are subject to economic growth or other risks faced by the company. Please refer to slide number two of investor presentation for the safe harbor clause. With that safe harbor clause, I will now hand over the call to our Group CEO, Mr. Guruprasad Srinivasan, for his opening remarks. Over to you, Guru.
Thank you, Kushal. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We started fiscal 2025 in a robust way and delivered a healthy performance during the quarter. Though Q1 historically has been seasonally the weakest quarter, this quarter marks the first time we have achieved a revenue run rate of 5,000 crores and a resilient Q1 performance with a substantial headcount addition over 30,000+ associates. EBITDA grew over year-on-year basis by 19% and saw a sequential dip of 6% over Q4 due to a seasonal slowdown in our higher margin OAM and GTS businesses. In addition to business seasonality, the impact of wage is also absorbed in Q1. We expect margins to improve as these businesses recover from Q2 onwards. Key financial highlights for the quarter: we added about 30,000 associates, and the headcount stands at 597,000 associates during the quarter. We recorded a consolidated revenue of 5,003 crores, which has crossed the 5,000 crore milestone with a growth of 9% on year-on-year basis. We delivered an EBITDA of 184 crores, a growth of 19% year-on-year. Year-on-year improvement in margins was led by reduction in founded burn, reduction in founded burn with the sales growth and optimized market spends, improvement in OAM margins through higher contribution by telecom and infra business, and profitability focus in other businesses. We continue to implement cost reduction and productivity improvement initiatives to optimize our business operations further. In preparation for announced demerger of Quess, we are also setting up leadership and internal processes. In this regard, I'm pleased to welcome Gurmeet Chahal, who has joined us as CEO of Quess GTS platform and will eventually lead a digitized entity. He's been an early proponent of integrated BPO and tech offering throughout his career. Under his guidance, the GTS platform will expand its global BPM and IT services footprint. Now, let me talk specific updates by platform. Starting with workforce management, the platform headcount reached 485,000. This includes people who are also serving notice period, which is about 32,000 during the quarter. adding a healthy 30,796 associates during the quarter. Addition in Q1 is more than what we added in last two quarters, that is combined of Q3 and Q4, we have added in Q1 in itself. Revenue growth for a period was about 12% year-on-year. EBITDA margins declined to 2.4% as the business mix tilted towards robust addition from general staffing business against modest growth coming out of IT staffing and overseas staffing. The platform added 91 new contracts during the quarter with an annual contract value of 510 crores. And let me move on to specific to the business, moving on to general staffing. The business added 29,432 associates by headcount during the quarter, led by logistics, consumer, retail and telecom and manufacturing. The business started the year on a very strong note by adding 82 new logos in Q1 in itself. Over the last years, manufacturing sector has been robust in hiring, and most of our efforts have collectively capitalized the momentum in this space. However, hiring in IT sector was slowed down during the quarter with only 4,000 net adds as a free flow of talent across was disrupted due to general elections. With strong open mandates and internal capability, this sector will be a key focus driver as we move forward. Quest has been the front runner in enhancing its sourcing through job spots. We did announce this last quarter, and this is a process where digitally we enable people located within the proximity of distance to the key manufacturing clusters designed to streamline recruitment for prospective job seekers. We recently launched our third job spot in Chakan after Hosur in Tamil Nadu and Narsapura in Bengaluru, and we are witnessing good traction. We are now looking to expand into the supplier states like UP, Bihar, Orissa, Jharkhand in the coming quarters. We have invested in leadership to strengthen our vertical strategy approach, allowing us to focus more on customer acquisition, retention, fulfillment specific to this segment. Our widespread geography reach is a testament to our sourcing and deployment capabilities. More than 70% of our gross additions during the quarter were from Tier 2 and Tier 3 or beyond Tier 2 regions. Engagement through our digital offering continues as we launched Dash Plus, which provides learning and development, skilling and assessment, and financial inclusion product at a click of a button to our associates. Coming specific to IT staffing business, we experienced a positive trend in the headcount after a few quarters of decline. We added over 300 associates. We anticipate to continue this growth trajectory as we have strengthened our GCC capabilities. The IT industry is expected to recover in second half, so we have already seen some green shoots in Q1, so we expect this to recover a bit in second half. GCC witnessed strong hiring trends, and we are now have 69% of our revenue from GCC. Our focused strategy to leverage GCC opportunities has resulted in healthy margin for IT staffing and have paved a path towards capturing a larger market share in GCC staffing space. And our open mandate levels are at about 1,500 compared to Q4. We have grown up by 36%. Moving on to Global Technology Solutions platform, GTS registered a revenue growth of 1% quarter-on-quarter on a seasonally larger Q4 base in Connect and Allsec business. The quarter's EBITDA margin is 17.5%, well in line with sustainable range between 17 to 18% band. The highlight specific to the platform, moving on to the CLM business, this business continues to witness healthy growth with 20% year-on-year and 7% sequential growth led by domestic and international mix. Allsec CXM vertical delivered a strong top-line growth and a higher international business salience. The non-voice BPM business saw a dip during the quarter. Collection business actively peaked in Q4, followed by a seasonal slowdown in Q1 FY25. Likewise, the EXM vertical in platform services experienced a sequential decline due to year-end one-time poaching activity in Q4. Overall, DXM business remained strong with 4.1 million payslips processed during the quarter, which translates to 10% year-on-year growth. Overall, the platform closed the order book at almost 82 crore ACV, adding 42 new logos to the key drivers, where BFSI and retail segment continues to be the key driver. Moving on to operating asset management, following year-long initiatives to enhance productivity and margin over past years, the OEM platform grew 9% despite of seasonal food and beverage and telecom network maintenance businesses slowdown. The platform recorded a year-on-year margin improvement of 30 basis points with increased contribution from telecom, infra, industrial, O&M businesses. However, there was a sequential dip in margin owing to loss of business due to seasonality in food and telecom business on back of 5G deployment and slowdown in that space. I would like to give you some highlights on OEM business. IFMS added 23 new logos with an ACV of 50 crore, predominantly coming from logistics, e-commerce and industrial are the key drivers where the additions came from. While security services realization were nearly flattish, the business registered appreciable margin expansion as we rationalized few low margin contracts in this quarter. Telecom infra registered a marginal growth sequentially as 5G deployment was seasonally slower in Q1. We have invested in sales and leadership to enable us to have a vertical specific sharper focus on profitability as we move forward. Moving on to product-led business, the revenue and EBITDA in this segment excludes our break-fix business QDG, which we divested in Q4. Founded saw a growth of 30% year-on-year and revenue growth of 7% year-on-year. Sales growth of 30% year-on-year and revenue growth of 7% year-on-year. Founded has significantly reduced its cash burn. Our operational metrics are up 12% sequentially on recruiter-based consumption, which gives us confidence as job postings are up by 54% quarter-on-quarter. Candidate profile updates are up by 86% quarter-on-quarter and CSAT remains healthy at 91%. We are confident of healthy 25% plus top-line growth with reduced cash burn for the year. Moving on to organization updates, I'm pleased to share that our workplace has been recognized as a great place to work for the fifth consecutive year with a rank of 32nd place, our highest ever this is. As a people-first organization, this achievement reflects our collective dedication to foster a culture of respect, growth and innovation. Our demerger plan is on track. We expect approval by stock exchange, after which NCLT proceeding will commence. Internally, we concurrently enhancing our leadership refining process and bolstering operational capabilities to empower each entity to establish a leadership position in their respective sectors after they demerge. Before concluding, I would like to highlight few factors that will be instrumental in driving growth at Quess over next few quarters. The government's focus on job and employment and the financial assistance to companies adding job will give Quess, India's largest domestic employer, many opportunities for growth. The private sector investment cycle should kick in with employment and job creation being on everybody's mind, creating more job opportunities for business services provider like Quess. The strengthening of leadership, particularly in GTS segment, is expected to give our BPM business more tailwind as it intensifies its go-to-market approach. The overall organization strengthening and optimizing that Quess has undertaken in last few months is showing result, and we expect this to continue and, leading up to the demerger as we get closer there. So, coming after a robust start to the year, we are looking forward to be the fiscal performance this year before the demerger. This will be ever be the best year for us before we, get into the demerger is being implemented. So I'll now hand over to Kamal for financial updates. Over to you, Kamal.
Thank you, Guru. I'll first take you through financial numbers before getting into segmental performance and other corporate updates. we delivered record revenue of 5,003 crores during the period with a growth of 9% year-on-year and 2% quarter-on-quarter. If we normalize the divestment of QDG done in Q4 of last year, revenue growth would be at 11% year-on-year and 4% quarter-on-quarter. EBITDA stands at 184 crores, a growth of 19% year-on-year and a decline of 6% quarter-on-quarter. Our operating margins are at 3.7%, which is 33 basis points higher on a year-on-year basis, driven by high contributions from margin-accretive businesses in GTS and OEM platforms and reduction in burn-in founded business. On a sequential basis, there is a 30 basis points decline due to seasonality in few of our businesses like food and beverages and telecom services, and also annual wage increase for our core employees. Profit after tax increased by 132% year-on-year and 14% quarter-on-quarter to 112 crores. Our PAT growth is significantly higher than EBITDA growth because of higher other income, lower interest costs, and also includes a one-time exceptional gain of 17 crores from divestment of our labor law compliance by our subsidiary Allsec Technologies. EPS for the quarter is 6.9 per share, 116% year-on-year growth and a 10% quarter-on-quarter growth, in line with the PAT growth. Our commitment to cash management and debt repayment continued in the quarter as we repaid close to 100 crores of debt, which has brought down our gross debt position under 300 crores. Our net cash position has also improved by 11% sequentially. Moving on to platform-wise updates. Starting with workforce management, we delivered a top line of 3,622 crores, which is up 12% year-on-year and 4% quarter-on-quarter, led by headcount-led growth in general staffing business and IT staffing supported by GCC hiring. EBITDA is at 89 crores, grew 6% year-on-year but declined 3% sequentially. EBITDA margin has seen a 18 basis points drop sequentially to 2.44% due to wage inflation and higher business mix of general staffing vis-a-vis professional staffing. With IT staffing gaining momentum and focus on value-added services in general staffing, we expect margin improvement in subsequent quarters. Moving on to Global Technology Solutions platform, the platform clocked a revenue of 610 crores, an increase of 8% year-on-year and 1% quarter-on-quarter. Revenue was nearly flat sequentially due to higher base caused by year-end activities in Q4. EBITDA is at 107 crores, a growth of 7% year-on-year and a decrease of 6% quarter-on-quarter. Consequently, EBITDA margins were at 17.5%. Platform and CLM business delivered good performance and our focus remains on developing margin-accretive service lines for the platform. Moving on to operating asset management platform, the platform delivered a revenue of 733 crores, a growth of 6% year-on-year and 3% quarter-on-quarter. Growth was led by telecom, infra and industrials on year-on-year basis, while IFMS and industrials were key drivers sequentially. Segment EBITDA is at 35 crores with a growth of 14% year-on-year and a sequential decline of 9%. EBITDA margin at 4.8% is an increase of 33 basis points on year-on-year basis, driven by higher contributions from telecom infra business and rationalization of low-margin accounts in the security business. However, margins declined sequentially by 64 basis points owing to seasonality in high-margin businesses like food and beverages and telecom infra. In the product-led business, adjusted for our divestment in QDG, revenue for the quarter was rupees 39 crore, a growth of 6% year-on-year. Founded sales growth is robust at 30% year-on-year. EBITDA was at a negative 8 crores, while on a year-on-year basis there is a steep improvement in cash burn levels owing to strong sales growth and optimized marketing spends in Founded. There is an increased burn quarter-on-quarter mainly due to higher marketing spends. Moving on to corporate updates. I'll start off with tax-related matters. As earlier notified on the stock exchange, we received an income tax refund of 107 crores for FY18-19. Additionally, DRP proceedings for FY19-20 have also been completed. In line with the previous orders of FY17-18 and FY18-19, deductions under the principal matters, that is Section 80AA and goodwill, have been disallowed. We believe that the tax treatments availed by the company are valid and we intend to contest this position and the interpretative stance on these sections on merits. On updates regarding the demerger, we are progressing on track towards the proposed three-way demerger of Quess Corp. We are enhancing our leadership and bolstering operational capabilities to empower each entity to establish a leadership position in their respective sectors after the demerger. And post approval by the stock exchange, we shall be filing the application with NCLT. The union budget recommendation presented a forward-looking approach towards generating formal employment with key emphasis on social security and skilling. These initiatives, coupled with an increased budgetary allocation towards PLI, Mudra schemes for MSMEs and CAPEX, capital expenditure, will create many employment opportunities in the formal sector. As one of the leading private sector employers, we are optimistic about the budget initiatives towards accelerating India's formal job creation, enhancing employability through skill development and education. With this, I conclude our financial results and pass it back to the moderator for taking your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Deep Shah from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. So the first question is around the higher share of IT ES that you have reported in the domestic IT staffing segment in your presentation. Is it possible to give the headcount here? This is to actually better understand whether there is a net headcount improvement, IT has bottomed out, or is it just a mix change?
Sure. We have seen a net headcount addition growth in Q1 in IT, specifically in IT staffing in India. However, this business, we would love to tell this more on margin and the kind of contribution that this can bring in than rather than the headcount. So this business contributes almost about close to about 9.5-10% EBITDA to our total workforce division. But however, good to see that mandate level have gone up. Compared to Q4, we were about 1,100. Now we are about 1,500, so almost 36% plus in terms of the mandate recovery. We again cater to largely 70% of our deployment goes to GCCs, and then of course across all sectors in GCCs, and balance towards other IT services and other IT companies. So that's the breakdown.
Deep,
do you have any follow-up questions?
Hello. Deep, are you online? Hello. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, sorry, there's some network interruption. So I'm saying just to reconfirm, the numbers you quoted are for specialized staffing, right? The 1100 versus 1500?
Professionals mean IT staffing, India.
Perfect. Clear. I heard Kamal say that how founded, I mean, PLB business, there was increased marketing there and therefore the sequential increase in losses. But fair to say for the full year, we should break even in this business, especially with the sale of QDT now behind us.
Certain indicators that sets us how we are progressing in this, if you look at our job postings are up by 76% year on year, and the profile update has moved from 3.8 million to about 13.4 million, which is 250% up. So when you're seeing both demand and supply side slowly getting active onto the platform, that gives us the confidence as to ultimately it has to convert into revenue, and we are on the plan. So I'll get Shekhar to add further on to this.
Yeah, Guru mentioned specifically to your question, Deep. That's the Q1 numbers are in line with the annual operating plan that we have. whole of last year we had a negative 55 crore EBITDA, and this year the plan formally is to turn break-even on a full year basis.
Right, so very useful. So one last question, if I may. So I'm sure that the budget proposals are very encouraging and we'll obviously be a net beneficiary. So any early guesstimates or early comments on, you know, how do you foresee the benefits of this? Given the scenario, would it be fair to assume that most of the benefits will be demanded back by a customer? Whatever your early thoughts are, I understand the fine print may not be out, but you are closer to the labor ministry than we are. So your early thoughts.
Absolutely, we are also driving this internally across various others, putting a work stream around it. So first of all, you know, it's great to see so much of emphasis coming on to specifically to workforce skilling and you know, intensifying formal employment. So I think this is a big shift towards thinking in itself, right? So this further has various streams. So the budget talks about as part of the package, scheme A, scheme B and scheme C, impacting an individual fresher who is coming onto the job, to employers who are going to, you know, encourage freshers coming into the system and creating those employment. Number three, specific to manufacturing and internship. Fourth one, female workforce participation, special attention focused towards the dormitories and better living for people working in manufacturing and condition, but in better sphere conditions, etc. I think all these steps, India is going to face definitely skill shortage, so reinforcing on skilling. And we, as you rightly said, we are very closer to this particular space, and each one definitely over a period of time is expected to add about 4 crore jobs, and we definitely stand to gain some portion of this definitely. If you look at few indicators again, the consumption in terms of FMCG, the rural consumption has gone up. It has outbeaten the consumption for urban, and which also sets that, from our trajectory, if you look at, our demand from tier 2, tier 3 are also increasing slowly. The capex investment which is going to get into various segments will actually encourage employment, as well as, you know, our integrated facility management businesses to do more, and customer lifecycle management to kick in. So we are quite happy to see these announcements, and we are also dissecting this to see how do we drive this across various streams and, you know, get closer to this in terms of working with the government in terms of, you know, being part of the implementation team as well. So, Kamal, you want to add in anything?
No, I think fairly covered, Guru. You are right. We also await the financial guidelines and the rules of, you know, various schemes and the implementation. But as Guru said, you know, being one of the largest employer in the country, we believe that we can partner with, you know, some of these schemes and the government for the formal job creation. And we are looking forward to it during this financial year.
If I could just add one follow-up. So given that the high watermark of salary of 1 lakh rupees is kept, would it be fair to conclude that even our GTS headcount, we could get benefit there also? Because I guess there the competition to have headcount and therefore pass on benefits would be materially lower, or that assessment is erroneous?
So you are right, since the wage thresholds this time are higher and it is capped at 1 lakh rupees, the effect of this towards all the verticals of Quess should be visible. But like I said, you know, we'll have to wait for the financial rules and the guidelines to come, and then assess as to what will be the financial impact of this for the company.
Perfect, sir. Thank you so much. Very helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Balaji Subramanian from IIFL Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Congrats on a good quarter. So I have two questions. So one is on the workforce management platform margins. I do know that, you know, you have reiterated in the past that the absolute EBITDA is the number which one should focus on. but you know, nonetheless, you know, I can see that after remaining steady at 2.6% for the preceding four quarters, it has dipped to 2.4% in this quarter. So is it because of the seasonality you mentioned, and should we expect this to go back to the 2.6% levels as we move into subsequent quarters? The second question would be on the associate to core ratio that you have reported for the OAM platform. I can see that, you know, there it has been, you know, slightly trending down. It used to be 107 about a year back, and now it is at 98. So, you know, any comments there, and, you know, what are you doing to improve that, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Sure. Balaji, with regard to workforce management, a couple of, you know, pointers there. One is, of course, you know, as you know, our strength in terms of sourcing and enhancing the sourcing capability has helped us to accelerate our net hiring that we do through sourcing channel. And if you look at, we have been investing in that space, and this is running up to the season between Q1, Q2 and Q3. We will continue to invest onto the sourcing channel a lot. So from that standpoint, it's a by plan and by design, the, you know, those investments have been made. Second, specifically for manufacturing job spots, which I did call during my speech, we are seeing good early wins coming in from these job spots. We are closer to the customer workplace. These are kind of, you know, centers which are digitally enabled for somebody to walk in and get job in 30 minutes. So we have already gone live with almost about 4 job spots now, and we have a few more slated. So that's the other investments that we are doing specific to general staffing. Then, of course, wage inflation comes into in Q1, which is a normal phenomenon. So as we move forward, we will definitely recover some basis point, about 20 basis points back in margins, because A, IT staffing is opening up, and we are seeing green shoots as the mandates have gone up. As we enter Q2, Q3, we will definitely see an uptick coming from there. And of course, international geographies are muted a bit. Singapore, which is largest for us in terms of IT staffing, it is almost, you know, flat, because, you know, they are running up to the elections, and the number of people who could be expats who could be got into, there is restriction in visa regime as to how many we can get in and all of that. So by Q4 they should open up. So I mean, if I were to look at where we are, there is definitely, I think we have subsumed the cost in Q1. As we move forward, there could be some basis points that will help us to you know, as we move forward. With regard to specifically on the OAM core to associate ratio, see, it's a range that we have been hovering. I mean, we should not look at it as a pointed number. Anywhere between 98 to 110 is a great number to be in. That also shows the kind of productivity and efficiency that we are bringing in. And we are in that range for almost about more than a year now. And as we invest back into vertical strengthening, as we invest back into strengthening our vertical approach and investment in sales, if you look at OAM as a platform, we have been calling out that the only focus that this platform needs is acceleration in sales. And we have added that capacity across country in terms of, you know, strengthening our sales team, which has also reflected in their, the ACVs that we have got in OAM. We have signed about 27 contracts worth 52 crores in Q1 in itself. So I think we are not really worried about it. I think it's a good investment that we have made. It will be in a range anywhere between 95 to 105. So that should be the range.
Thank you. That answers my questions, and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Chintan from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
No, Chintan, you'll have to be a little louder.
Now am I audible? Sorry, sir. Yeah, okay.
Congrats on a good set. Just coming to WFM first, on the margin front again, we had, you know, last quarter guided to drive the margins upward to say 2.8, 20 basis point improvement we were targeting. Now, obviously, it's understandable that this quarter is seasonally weak and a lot of skewness towards general staffing and all led to some slight dip in margins. But do you foresee that on an average or at the exit, we will be start to hit improvement in margins going forward?
So, Chetan, as we keep guiding, the best way to assess general staffing is to see how much gross margin to EBITDA conversion is happening. That's how we look at internally. So we continue to still, be around 67% in terms of gross margin to EBITDA, because what happens in general staffing is the wage inflation, the revenue growth has a wage of almost about 70% coming in from wage increase, as well as the sales mix is about 30%. So that is something that you need to look at. So, If I were to look at overall WFM as a platform, two key events. One is IT staffing, as I said, opening up as we step into the further quarters will help us to expand margin a bit. And the international staffing, as the borders open up, will help us to increase margin few basis points. With regard to general staffing, I think we are doing well in terms of our net adds. Q1 in itself, we have added at a platform level, if I take general staffing alone, about 29,000 headcount that we have added. We will measure them purely by net adds that they do, and there are two type of contracts that we sign, flat fee and a percentage fee. So, and collect and pay and upfront, our collect and pay still is very, pretty healthy. Almost about 80% of our contracts is collect and pay, and 20% is towards upfront. So the other indicators are perfect, but what happens in Q1 is when there is wage hike, there would be impact on percentage, and you will have a similar kind of reflection coming in Q3 also, when there is high incentives that gets paid on a flat fee basis. It will have an impact on the margin. So the best way to look at is gross margin to EBITDA conversion, and that's pretty strong and healthy.
Okay. And on the working capital, when we say, 80% of the business is collect and pay, and ideally, given the size of the business, we should operate at a negative carry or negative working capital kind of situation. But if I say the DSO days for general staffing or the working capital days for general staffing, as you mentioned in the presentation, at 25 days, what does it entail to? It's largely the remaining part of business which requires larger capital to operate?
Yeah, so see, the DSO days as mentioned in the...
Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost the management line connection. Please stay connected while we reconnect them. Thank you.
Sorry, we got logged out of the call. Chintan, are you still there?
Yes, yes, I am here.
Yeah, Kamal will respond to your question.
Yeah. So, Chintan, the platform level DSO days, which I mentioned in the presentation, is 25 days. It's a combination of, the general staffing business and the other businesses, which is into IT staffing and international staffing, where the DSO days are higher. Within 25 days also, there is a blend of, the billed days and the unbilled days. And in this line of business, we've got an unbilled days of also close to around 10 days. So, and the billed days is around 15. So that's the breakup. And this will keep, being in this range, it will keep moving basis the business mix of general staffing vis-a-vis other businesses.
Okay. But I didn't understand, because if it's collect and pay is 80 in general staffing, and DSO days for general staffing is 25 days. So I'm just wondering, the 20% piece carries a much larger collection days. That's what my point was. Anyways, I'll jump back in queue for any further questions.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, thanks for the opportunity. In terms of the employment and skilling initiatives that has been announced in the budget, obviously it is a positive for the staffing company. But if you can throw some more light in terms of the various initiatives in terms of scheme A, scheme B, and scheme C, obviously it is going to push volumes. But is it also going to help us in generating some more margin from A, because these also involves a lot of compliance related work in which we have to collect from the government and pass on to the employer and the employee. So are we also planning to get some extra PPM or extra for like managing these schemes for the government? And also from an overall perspective, on the skilling program and on the internship opportunity that has been announced. So we expect these to show up in the numbers, and obviously the manufacturing is, and the MSME side, which is are we planning to increase our investments in this space?
Amit, I'll answer this. I think there was some line disruption in between, so I think start this. Stop me wherever you have any further questions. So first and foremost, as I said, this has been completely focusing on formal employment creation and specific segment in terms of manufacturing, participation of women workforce and skilling. So these are four areas budget has been really focusing about. If you further look at, it has multiple packages in this, schemes which has been created, something that is direct benefit transfer to employees. So some portion of it goes into employees directly, where they are encouraged to come into the formal workforce and work for a fixed period of, in the sense, work for at least minimum 1 year in that space. So see, it is not only hiring and deployment, it's about holding them and getting consistency in those workforce. So I think that is where one of the scheme is focusing. The second scheme is focusing on employers' participation in terms of ensuring that we hire a fresher and we are capable of training them and deploying them into the job. I think that's the second area where employers are encouraged. The third area is where specifically focusing for the manufacturing segment as to how freshers can be hired, trained and deployed. So these are three different packages. Over and above, to encourage women workforce participation for a better living conditions, the working women hostels in collaboration with industries are being set up, and it has some element of CSR fund and etc. into it. The last one is largely again focusing on the skill shortage and skilling gap. So Quest being, if you look at, we are mid of this transformation of a individual journey from informal to formal. They have to pass through somebody like us, and we are in midst of this ecosystem, getting people from form job to non-form job, or moving them from informal to formal when they start to, and of course once we handhold and jointly between us and customers, then we become a kind of stepping stone for them to build their career as they move forward. So while these are the schemes that have been announced, there is definitely a lot of challenge on the ground in terms of implementation. So we have to work as a stream very close to the respective ministries. We are also doing that in terms of ensuring that we come together to implementation of this. So as Kamal said, the fine prints we'll have to get into, and the models have to get created. However, this is going to start from October onwards, as and when the budget, the conclusion or the rollout happens. So we are also working as a revenue stream. But yes, this is something that we definitely can't take our eyes. We are in midst of in this segment, and we'll continue to have a probably, as I think one of your questions, that do we know what we are going to earn out of this. So we're not budgeted any of this in the current, but whatever comes in comes, but of course we are going to put a separate stream to drive this. Kamal, you want to add anything?
No, comprehensively covered.
No, so obviously, you know, I was trying to understand, you know, what investments are required in this. Obviously, you know, we can get clarity when, you know, like when we get the fine print. But as a structural story, obviously, there's a, you know, there's a clear indication that the shift from unorganized to organized can accelerate with this. So that has been there over the last 5 years, but maybe it can accelerate with these initiatives coming in. But more from the margin perspective, are we seeing some kind of margin improvement from these initiatives, or as a shift from the unorganized to the organized sector? And also in terms of the manufacturing side, whether the margin profile in the other segments like BFSI retail is similar to what we have in manufacturing.
So I mean, margin definitely, you know, when these schemes are implemented, it should definitely add to the margin, because some of these schemes are, like Guru explained, direct benefit transfer to employees. Some of these schemes are also towards the EPFO contribution to the employers. So this will definitely add to the overall company margin, but the quantification, as we said, we'll have to wait for the detailed guidelines.
Okay. And sir, if we can, you know, throw some more light on the IT staffing, obviously we have seen some recovery, but what we are hearing from the IT, I'll comment to that, the hiring is expected to improve after, you know, 6 quarter kind of a flattish or decline. So how do you see the domestic IT staffing as we need to grow from here, and also in terms of margins, if you can elaborate on how the margins look like, basically.
So, Amit, as Guru had said in his opening speech, we are seeing some green shoots, and probably it should recover in the second half of the year. Anything else, what is, Guru, if you can add to this, give him some guidance on that.
Sure. So, Amit, as I said, we are open mandates in IT, we have seen going up between Q4 to Q1. And we also added net headcount of 300 plus in Q1. So with that note, as we move forward, it will definitely, because the average wage that we operate in IT is anywhere between 75 to 80,000 per month, and definitely at a higher margin, it has to be accretive in terms of overall the margin improvement. And as I said, international geographies, as and when they open up, I mean, I also alluded to it, what's happening in Singapore currently. That's the largest second IT staffing that we have after India, and it's again a high margin business there. Till Q3 we see little muted, but Q4 is when we anticipate to open. So by end of this year, we should definitely march towards back to at least about 20 to 30 basis points improvement in workforce.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Aman.
Thank you. The next question is from Garaina Faria from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. My first question is in terms of the manufacturing and industrial. So we are hearing a lot of commentary from the industry. There is a lot of shortage of labor and all from semi-skilled to skilled. So will this help us? Or what kind of growth are we seeing in that segment?
Sure. You're right. If you look at in my speech, I specifically alluded to job spots. See, there is a primary challenge on the source destination and the deployment destination where workforce in India are deployed, right? So most of these manufacturing clusters are not in the main CBD, they are in the outskirts across various clusters. And specifically, we are working with the modern manufacturing companies. These are not traditional lines. Where we'll have bulk deployment in every large unit. So considering that, one of the key challenges is to create that sourcing hub, and job spot is something that has given an early success to us. We are going closer to those clusters, manufacturing clusters, setting up the satellite office there, ensuring it's fully digital and somebody who's walking in. And of course, a lot of groundwork happens there in terms of, you know, getting the footfall into place. And once they come in, then digitally the candidate gets the credentialization of the candidate and ensuring that, you know, they go through the process. The hiring process is entirely different for a manufacturing than what we hire for any other sector. So we got to look at a lot of elements like hand-to-eye contact, finger dexterity. So based on that, the shortlisting will happen and somebody will be able to get a job in a much quicker and faster time being closer. So A, we'll be closer to customer and the associates who would be. And also there's a lot of local employment deployment percentages that has to happen depending upon which state or bordering neighboring state these manufacturing units are. So in many ways, we have got that right with four of our job spots which we have launched, and we are moving ahead. As we move step into Q2 and Q3, we will have, by end of this year, we'll have about 12 job spots that we will be hiring for our customers from. So it's a challenge, and we have in last 3 years from where we were, manufacturing as a sector alone has crossed almost about 65,000 people by deployment. And with CapEx investment coming into this space, we cannot take our eyes off, and as a first mover, I think we will definitely be front running in this space as we, as industry's investment on CapEx picks up.
Got it. And in terms of IT hiring, as you're seeing improvement significantly, and the mandates have also increased. Also, we heard commentary of all the IT companies that they have, like TCS is going with 40,000 and Infosys is some 15,000-17,000. So, what kind of a growth rate or this will lead to better margins, because considering IT has been a good margin business for us, so what kind of margin improvement do we see because of this? And we, there is basically because of data centers and semiconductor facility coming, there's a lot of shortage of manpower. So what are your views on that sector also?
Sure. So, I mean, IT definitely is a margin accretive business. As I said, the average wage there is in a range of 75,000 to 80,000 rupees per associate per month. And definitely, as in the talent, I mean, we work in two divisions. One is, I mean, you did speak about IT services. The IT services is an area which where the average wage is lesser compared to the GCCs. And this is an area which cannot be ignored. So we haven't seen much of movement for last 6 to 7 quarters, and now we are seeing slowly TCS and Infosys from their results talking about how they are anticipating the hiring lineups, etc., for upcoming quarters. And when it opens up, it really opens up well, and it definitely adds quantum in terms of the headcount growing up, you know, drastically for us. So we are waiting and watching for those mandates to come in. While it has been very extremely marginal in terms of Q1, but as we step forward, we should definitely see some addition coming in from IT services. Having said that, our exposure is almost 70% to GCCs. In GCCs specifically, we work with auto, engineering, healthcare, BFSI. So what happens here is these are high margin business. In fact, the way GCCs are set up, we also have strengthened our vertical. We have domain expertise coming in from specific sectors who drive these towers for us internally. So for example, BFSI or engineering and auto, we design few components for our customers, you know, in terms of, you know, deploying people who design components. It's a very different hiring than what I hire for IT services. So from that standpoint, of course, the margin that we realize from this kind of niche deployment is also on the higher side. The only point what we don't drive is we don't drive headcount. We largely drive this on the net gross, I mean, the gross margin or a net margin that we realize per associate per month. Basis how the recruiters would work on the mandates. So with that, yes, it is going to definitely add as we move. But however, to just to bring that caution back,
See, while IT will continue to grow, our general staffing, which is also the low margin business, but it's a high cash generating business, will also continue to grow at the same speed. And sometimes it negates the growth that, you know, general staffing negates the growth that comes from other business. So we continue to balance both at a platform level. I think, you know, anywhere between 2.4 to 2.6% is a well balanced delivery that, you know, as per us.
Got it. And in terms of, you just said that we saw wage hikes in Q1 and we are anticipating, as per normal scenarios, wage hikes in Q3. So when can we pass this on, or partially or bit, to the customers, and how is the business model?
Wage inflation is the merit inflation increase given to the core employees. It has nothing to do with what we bill to the customers. As far as the margin trajectory is concerned, Q1, like we said, we close at around 3.7%, and with a mix change that is expected over Q2, Q3, plus some of our other businesses which have high margin but low seasons in quarter one, and with festive season coming up, we expect that we should, by end of quarter two or early quarter three, we should be back into 4% margin levels.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Kramaisen.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipesh from MK Global Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions. First on workforce management. If I look core to associate, showing a steady downward trend, any implication on margin you think, or this is within range and that's why you don't see much change on margin implication perspective? Second question is on the new onboard contribution which we give for domestic IT staffing. If I look, GCC remained roughly around 50% for last reported few quarters. If I look the contribution to revenue, it is showing steady uptick. How to read these two numbers? If you can help us understand what it signifies and how to read this number. Second set of question is on the founded. If I look, we have seen sharp increase in search profile update and job posting on sequential basis, the number which we posted, while active user base largely remains steady and showing consistent trend. So how to reconcile this thing, whether we have made any product changes which lead to some kind of changing in reported metrics, which one should not focus on kind of thing, because it is one off and maybe taper off in subsequent quarter. Thanks.
So I'll ask Sekar to first take the question on founded.
Yeah. Specifically on founded, there are two ways to look at the business. There's engagement that happens both on candidates and recruiters, which determine the health of the business, and eventually these metrics convert into revenues. So what we spoke about earlier on the metric health is both on the candidate side, which we measure through traffic, profile, and applications done by candidates on the platform, as well as on the recruiter side, which is net dollar retention rate as well as consumption. All of them have moved significantly positive in this quarter. And even from a sales perspective, we grew 30% from last year's similar quarter to this quarter of the same, this year's same quarter. So from that perspective, we are on track in terms of both our operating metrics, financial metrics, as well as growth metrics, and that's the broad message from founded perspective. Anything specific you want to ask?
No, so let's say if I look your new search profile, it is 85% up quarter on quarter, 94% on YOY. Similarly, profile update 86%. Whereas if I look your revenue, it is more or less 1%, 6% kind of number. Even your active user base remain more or less stable. So consistency, let's say 7% quarter on quarter, 16% YOY. Whether we made some changes in the product, that's why this some of these reported metrics got materially different than the trend.
Yeah, so we launched our new version of the product, which is AI-driven, 2.0 as we called it, a couple of quarters back. And one of the significant advantages with that is a lot of AI-led value that we are delivering both to candidates and recruiters. That has led to improvement in the operating metrics, which is what you are seeing here. As you know, we are a two-sided marketplace. The more candidates use us, the more the platform becomes valuable to recruiters. And subsequently, this is the base on which we will build our sales growth for the coming quarters. So most of the upgrades that you are seeing are driven by new product upgrades that were made to the platform over the last two quarters.
Let me simplify. Whether you expect revenue growth to follow similar trend the way we are seeing this trend?
Yes. So from last year Q1 to this Q1, we grew 30% and we expect a similar trend to happen over the subsequent quarters as well. And that's the guidance that we have given even in Guru's commentary, that we expect a high growth year for Founded, significantly higher than the 30% that we delivered in Q1. That trend will continue.
Dipesh, you're there online?
Yeah, on workforce, maybe you can answer.
Sure. Yeah, I'll take that. So specific to GCC, you had a question. So just to clarify, you know, by headcount, the GCC contributes about 43%, and by revenue, it is about 69%. So as I said,
no, my question was on new onboard contribution. I understand headcount because of realization variation. My question was new onboard contribution and then revenue contribution.
Of 300 plus people that we added in Q1. 49% of that are deployed in GCC and balance 40% in IT services, about 11% in enterprise. So the new net adds that we did are bifurcated in that. So which means 49% of our hiring is going towards GCCs.
Understand, thanks. And the last core associate?
Core to associate ratio of WSM.
Core to associate, see, it ranges between close to about 390 to about 425, depending upon the season and turf. So we were about 427. So as I said, Q2 and Q3 is the season, and we will be strengthening our sourcing engine across, plus investment in job spots, strengthening the recruiter on the front line there. So, as a range, we'll be in a range between anywhere between close to 400 to 425.
No, Guru, so question is, let's say we are seeing core to associate, it is 15% down YOY. Whether any margin implication happened because of that, or you think you don't see much change on margin because of that ratio remaining within the range?
Yeah, it's within the range. It will not impact margin. That's what I meant.
Understood. Thanks.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhwani Shah from Invest India. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for this opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, Dhwani, please.
Yeah, I just wanted your thoughts on first, how much is the PAPM in this quarter? And we were just trying to understand that the top customers have, seen declines. So are the incremental contracts also facing some cost pressures in terms of the gross margin?
So our PAPM range is always between 670 to 700. So that's the range that we trend into. And specific to cost pressure, of course, I keep saying this, cost pressure will be there. And since we, whenever we go off for renewals, there will be pressure, but we, you know, generally tend to stay ahead in terms of the deployment, as well as there are multiple line items that we look at, right? So capability of sourcing gives us the edge to stay continue in terms of the net realization that we get from an associate. So, that's a key differentiator, plus the technology deployment that we do in terms of our application related to work or Dash Plus. So they also realize, some bit of exclusivity that we bring in when we deploy people, or differentiator when we deploy to customers. So from that, through that engagement, we have been able to really keep our average between 670 to 700.
Okay, and just one more thing. You mentioned that the last this quarter, the conversion from gross margin to EBITDA was 67%. What was it last quarter?
We are in the same range between 65 to 67 is where we are ranging for last 4 to 6 quarters.
Okay. Just one more question. In the domestic IT segment, GCC share in terms of revenue is now 69%. But we were trying to understand YOY basis, the absolute number has declined by 4.9%, while ITES saw growth of 4.1%. Is this understanding correct?
Yes, it is. What happens is, if you look at IT services, as I said, has started coming back in this quarter. They've started getting the open mandates from there, and if you look at even the new onboarding that we have said, we have added new onboarding of almost 40% in Q1 in itself from the ITES, which has come in. So, right.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aniket Kulkarni from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So could you please give a timeline of the demerger details and, you know, when will you think the demerger will be completed and do you expect any hurdles on the way? And secondly, why do you think this demerger will unlock value for Quest Corp? So if you can give some color on that.
Sure, Aniket, thanks for your question. So on demerger, we have previously also guided that it's a 12 to 15 months process from the date of announcement. So we announced the demerger in the month of February. And the scheme is a mirror shareholding scheme, and we expect with a simplistic scheme, we should be able to complete this demerger on the timeline that we stated. Obviously, there is a lot of external interface on this. There are regulatory approvals. But so far, we are on track and hopeful that probably by Q1 of next year, we should have the demerger processed. To your question on, you know, why or whether it will unlock any value, see, there were multiple reasons that we did and the announcement of demerger. It does simplify corporate structure and, you know, post-simplification, there is an opportunity for value unlock. It also leads to an enhanced managerial focus because all these businesses are well-scaled, large businesses and industry leaders in each of their respective states, respective lines of businesses. So, demerger and, you know, running it as a separate listed entity definitely brings in additional managerial focus and gives a competitive edge. Each of our businesses are into different service lines, and hence there was also a need of a uniquely defined capital allocation strategy for each of these businesses, which again leads to value creation for shareholders. So that was also one of the reasons. And it also gives flexibility to these businesses to pursue independent strategies, and that brings a lot of clarity on the investment thesis for, let's say, the shareholders as to which businesses they are investing money. So those were some of the reasons the demerger was announced in the month of February. And like I said, we are on track. Hopeful that by Q1 of next year, we should be able to get this.
Okay. Thank you so much and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question. And I'll hand the conference over to Mr. Kushal Maheshwari for closing comments.
Thank you. This was a very engaging session. If there are any questions which are left, then you can reach out to the investor relations team separately. I would request Guru to give our closing remarks for the concall.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost the management line connection. Please stay connected while we reconnect them. Thank you. Sir, please go ahead.
So I take this opportunity to thank each one of you again for joining us for this Q1 earning call. Your questions and feedback have always been valuable, and I would like to once again highlight that we remain steadfast in growing the business robust across all our operational and financial metrics. Unlocking value to shareholders is in the process. And with this note, thanks again for joining us and look forward to meet you also. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.